Rav Shishi, Parshas Tasri, Rabbi David Katz.
Good evening. This week's Parsha, has the interesting halachas of Tzaras. Right at the beginning, we read in the Pasuk, Adam kiye ba'er b'saroi, the Torah tells us that there is a certain type of disease, we can call it, which is called tzaras, which is an affliction on the skin, which happens to a person and needs to go to a kohen, and the kohen decides what is the situation, if he's tamei or toyer, and we know there's a few types of tzaras on a house, on clothes, on the body. But today, I'd like to focus perhaps on this verse, this pasuk that we just read, and elaborate three aspects within this pasuk. One concept to speak about is why it says the word Adam, Adam ki ba'ar b'saroi, why particularly the word Adam and not any other description of man. Ki ba'ar b'saroi, se'ei se'isapach ha'se'baharis, what exactly, the Torah uses these words, se'ei se'isapach ha'se'baharis, what they mean. And then the third aspect, the idea of a nega. What exactly does it mean, a nega? Why is it called a nega? What's the meaning behind it? So, Chazal tell us that the reason why, and I'm sure you all know, the reason why tzaras comes to a person is because he speaks Lashon Hara. And we see two classic examples for it in the Torah itself. One is with Miriam, which she speaks against Moshe Rabbeinu, and she becomes Mitziras. What's the other case in the Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu, with this, the Nisim, one of the reasons Rashi tells us is because he spoke Lashon Hara about the Jewish people, Vehim lo yaminu li v'chulu. And that's the reason a person speaks Lashon Hara, he gets afflicted, he gets Tzaras. And this idea is, Chazal tell us, because speaking Lashon Hara is such a terrible thing. And Gemara speaks in great length about the evilness of Rosh Hashanah, of Lashon Hara, of how it kills the three people, the Mesaper, the person you're telling about, and the listener. I remember reading a story about a guy who came to his Rav, and he says that he's been speaking Lashon Hara for many years, and now he wants to do tshuva. So the Rav said to him, no problem, all you need to do is take a pillow, go on the top of a cliff, cut the pillow open, and spread the feathers in the air. So he thought, oh, it's an easy tshuva. No problem. When he took the pillow, he cut it open, he spread the feathers. He came back to the Rav and he said, Sisi kechel asher tzivisani, alt b'seida now? So the Rav said, no, there's one little thing you need to do, and then the tshuva is 100%. He said, you got to go now then, pick up all the feathers and put them back in the pillow. So he said, impossible, how can I do that? And the Rav said the exact same thing. You think you come to me, an easy tshuva. I've done Lashon Hara, I want to do a kapara. All the negative that you've spoken, all the evilness that has happened from your Lashon Hara, who can now go and pick it up? And that's why we say, three times a day when we daven, we say, Eloikai nitzir l'shoini meira, u'sfasai midaber mirma. It's a prayer which we care so much, how careful a person must be from speaking Lashon Hara. And the Rambam, he writes all about Lashon Hara, and he speaks about the levels of Rechilus, Lashon Hara, and Moitzi Shemra. And I think one of the Mefarshim you say a hint to the idea of Tzaras coming for Lashon Hara is because Moitzi Shemra is Zeis Tietos HaMetzaira Moitzi Shemra, the acronym of the similarity. So the Torah, which speaks about Tzaras and Lashon Hara, one can ask, how is it relevant to us today? This whole Indian of reading about going to the Kohen, and the Kohen looking at it, why does the Torah tell us that Allah has said, anyway, it's the Kohen who decides. So what's in the game for us exactly how it should be? So therefore Chazal explained that the Torah is actually telling us the subconscious reasons of why a person would speak Lashon Hara. What's the psychological reasons? Where does it come from? Everyone understands Lashon Hara is a bad thing. Yet we know that there's such a Yitzhahara, such a Taiva, such a temptation to speak Lashon Hara. Where does it come from? And even if you learn Shemir Sal Lashon, you speak about it in great length, still we fall in the pit of speaking Lashon Hara all the time. So therefore the Torah starts off and tells us, I'll tell you what's the reason. What's the psychological reasons? Adam These are the three reasons, Se'ei, Sapachas, and Ba'eres, are the three reasons why a person might speak Lashon Hara. Michal, a simple meaning, just for clarity. Se'eis and Sapachas are three types of white. There's a stronger white, a clear white. I think it's Rashi tells us that it's either white. Se'eis is white like cotton wool, Tzemer Geffen. Sapachas is like the Leuvensh of a Beitzer, the white of the egg. And Baheres, he says it's very clear like snow. And these are the three types that the Kohen needs to look and see which Tzaraas it is. But the deeper reason why the Torah is telling us is because it's telling us that these are the three motives for Lashon Hara. Se'eis. What does the word Se'eis mean? Huh?
To suffer, to tolerate.
Why? Laset, to hold.
To carry.
That's what it comes from. To elevate. Hisnasus. And that is the first reason why a person might want to speak Lashon Hara. Because he feels if I can speak negative about somebody else, if I degrade him, if I make him lower, that makes me automatically higher. So when a person is looking for recognition, when a person wants to stand out, so he speaks Lashon Hara because that's going to make me above, Se'eis, higher than the other person. I remember reading a story about a Chabad figure, the Rebbe Rashab, he was the fifth Chabad Rebbe, but when he was a young child, the story goes that his brother once put him in a pit. He was a five-year-old and he put him in a pit. So he came complaining to his father and he said, my older brother's put me in a pit. So the father called, who was a Rebbe at the time, he called the older brother, who was seven, he was 2 years older, and he said, why did you put your younger brother in the pit? So he said, because it's not fair. What's not fair? He said, I'm seven, I'm older, yet he's taller than me. And it doesn't make sense. If he's five, he's 3 years younger, he should be shorter than me. So I put him in the pit, and this way he's lower than me. So his father said to him, listen, if you want to be taller than him, you don't have to put him in the pit. Go and stand on a chair, and you'll be taller than him. What's in the Kundasanian? If a person wants to become, to grow, if you want to stand out, it's not by knocking somebody else, by telling Lashon Hara somebody else, oh, now I'm higher than him. If you really want to be have the Indian of Isnasus, go study, go become a great person, and work on yourself to elevate yourself, not by knocking somebody else. But that's the reason why, could be Lashon Hara, you say, the Indian of Seis. Then we have another Indian, which is Sapachas. Sapachas comes from the idea of listapeach. Listapeach means to be part of, to connect, to join. In the Hebrew roots, when a person wants to take land, it's called lesapeach, to take land, to be part of. When a person wants to be a part of the chevra, when he wants to be accepted, he wants to be part of the community, it's the easiest thing. You come to a bar mitzvah, you sit at the table, as the gehet hazah, and you start, because you want to be in the main, everyone's around you. So that's the second reason why a person might be speaking Lashon Hara. And then the third reason is Baheres. Baheres comes from the word Bahir, which is clarity. Which means that the person feels, but I understand everything. By me, everything's clear. I'll tell you why this person did such and such, because this is what he was thinking, this was motivations. Ich weiß alles. That's the inner of Lashon Hara. A person wants to feel that he knows more than other people. So these are the three things that the Torah is already telling us. Be careful, these are what gets a person to speak Lashon Hara. An interesting zach. But the Torah starts with the Pasuk, Adam Kiyah Bar Mesoret. It says in the Zohar that there's four names to describe a human being. Enosh, Adam, Ish, and Gever. These are the four. And the Zohar tells us that Adam is the highest name of all four. Huh? Yeah, the highest name, there's a few reasons to it why, mainly because Adam Arishain, and he was called Adam Mitzad Adam El Elyon, so it's a very high name. So, the question which is obviously needed, if or what we've just explained, that the whole reason why a person speaks Lashon Hara is because of Seyu Sapachas and Ba'eres V'chulu, and he's getting a Tzaraas because he spoke Lashon Hara, so why is he described in the Torah B'Shem Adam? Adam kia bar b'sari. It should have said, Gever kia bar b'sari. Ish kia bar b'sari. Dafka, the person who's speaking Lashon Hara, he's considered Adam. V'shtei tshuvas v'adavar. There's two reasons which I'd like to suggest. I'm sure there's more, but which I'm going to get to ask. Number one reason, when since we're speaking about the subconscious and psychology, etc. So Chazal tell us that the reason why he's actually called Adam is because this person who gets a teras, he's actually dealing with his problem. The fact that now he's getting a teras is becoming clear that he has an issue. He has an of lashon hara. What I mean to say is he is facing his issues head on. To explain, they tell a story of a guy who came once to a Rav, and he said to the Rav, "My friend did an aveira. He did something wrong, but he's embarrassed to ask. So he sent me to go and ask on his behalf." So the Rav said to him, "Why did he have to ask you to go on his behalf? He could have come himself, and he could have said that his friend made an aveira." What was the Rav trying to tell him? It's good that it's you. Oh, so why does the Rav have to say that to him? A guy comes, he wants a tshuva, so I have to put, "I caught you, I caught you." Because what he's trying to tell him is that the first darg in tshuva, the first level, is the person needs to face up. He needs to face his problem and deal with it. So therefore a person who's dealing with his problem, he has a tzaras, and he's saying, "Oh, it's becoming because of Lashon Hara." Oh, then he's already in the darg of Adam. And therefore it says also in the Alter Rebbe says that the reason why today we don't have tzaras is because we're nowhere near the level of Adam. Adam is somebody who's very good, everything by him is fine, and he has one issue that he needs to deal with. If you take a place which is totally dirty and you put on it dust, it's not going to make a difference. But when something's very clean and there's dust, there's a problem over here. So when a person's on the level of Adam, that's when the teras is going to come out because of Lashon Hara. That's one reason. But there's actually another reason. And this reason, why it says the Inyan of Adam, takes us back 101, 102 years ago to 1911. But there was a very famous story at the time, still famous today. The story, of Mendel Baylis. And what is the story? The story goes into Kiev, back to Kiev, where they found a 8-year-old boy who was murdered. And they were looking for the culprits, they were looking at who they can blame. And right next to where he was found, there was a factory. And the superintendent of the factory was a guy called Menachem Mendel Baylis. And the goyim said, "Oh, Menastam, a Jew with this blood libel." It was not long, 2 months before Pesach. They shechted this Nebuch, this kid, in order to use his blood for matzahs. By the way, do you know, since we're standing here in England, the whole Indian of blood libels originated in the 1200s here in Norwich, here in England. It started from here, then it spread out to Europe. But in the 19th century, at the time, people thought, can't be that this, we're living in such modern times, that would accuse a Jew of blood libel. It was only 30 years later that they saw with the Holocaust it could be much worse. But that was the case. And they threw him into prison, and Lemaise, for 2 years, this Nebuch Mendel Baylis, he was in prison. And what was happening at the time was that all the newspapers were writing anti-Semitic articles against the Jews, and suddenly became not only an issue of one person, but the whole Jewish people. And Mitzad Sheini, the whole Jewish people actually came to help this guy. Everyone cared, there's a Jew in prison, we need to help him, because we know this, although it's proven 1,000 times that we're not allowed to use blood of an animal, Chas v'Shalom, we put salt, that the Jewish people, they say, we have to help this guy. And the whole Jewish world, all the way to America, was helping this Mendel Baylis. And the big day came, it was just after Yom Kippur, when he had his court case. And they got a jury, and before they chose the jury very carefully to make sure that these people knew their stuff, and they hate him, and true anti-Semitic. And it was a case which wasn't now anymore the government versus Mendel Baylis. It was the government versus Judaism. And the leading rabbi at the time, who was leading this whole counterattack, was the Rav of Moscow. His name was Rav Yaakov Matza. You think he was a Kohen. Mizera Mazo. His name was Mizera Aaron HaKohen. He was a Kohen. He was a very sharp person. He actually met, there was a very famous Jew, which I'm sure you all heard his name, a guy called Leon Trotsky. But Leon Trotsky started off as his name was Lev Borenstein. That was his name. And then in the beginning of the 1900s, 1920, he was fighting Stalin and a few other communists to take Lenin's place. So when this guy, Rav Yaakov Matzah, the Rav, he met Trotsky, he said to him, listen, I need your help. You need to help me with the army to protect the Jewish people. So Trotsky said to him, what do you want from me? I'm not even a Jew. So he said to him, that's the problem. He said, it's the Borensteins who make the revolution. He said it's the Trotskys who make the revolution, yet it's the Borensteins who suffer. So he said, you start the revolution, now as a Yidden we need to say, I'm a sharp guy. So anyway, so he was conversing with many rabbis and he was getting the whole case ready. And one of the rabbonim who sent him a letter, it's a very interesting letter to read in great detail, is the Miyasid of Daf Yomi, Rabbi Shapira from Lublin, and he said to him, I'm telling you that this issue is going to come up in the court case. And he wrote him a whole letter about a certain issue which he knew and he was going to prepare him and gave him an answer for Chulu. And he was 100% right. The big day came, and the lawyers, there was a Jewish lawyer, he was called Grusenberg, whose name was Oscar Grusenberg, he was a Jew, and he was heading from the lawyer side, and he had everything ready. And the prosecution said, the proof that you Jews killed this kid, we find in Maseches Yevamos. They quote from Maseches Yevamos, Daf Samech Aleph, Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Atem kruim Adam, ve'einu mesoilam kruim Adam. That's what it says. It says that we're called Adam, yet the goyim are not called Adam. And they said that's a very simple thing. If we're not Adam, then what does that lead to? We're animals. So if we're animals, that's why you shecht us. If we're not human beings, then you find all justification to kill a guy for your blood, for the matzahs. So what's he going to answer? And he answered the answer that Rabbi Shapira sent to him. And explained as follows. It's a very lengthy answer, but the gist of it is as I. And he said that in Hebrew, every single word can be said in single and can be said in plural. The only one word that you can't say it in plural is Adam. You can't say Adamim. No such thing. Why? And this is what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is saying. He's saying, Atem Loshen Rabim, as a nation, Kriyim Adam. You're the only group of people that can be at the same time a group and at the same time single. A single entity, an Adam in the single term. Because the nations of the world, the single people, and even as a group of people, each one is a total individual. The only concept of Kol Yisrael Arev Yuzeb Zeh, the name of Arev, Miloshen Arvus, Me'urav, is only by a Jew. And he said to him, you can only find in the Jewish people, explain this to the judge. And he said, the only people who care for one another, and mamish feel are responsible for one another, is the Jewish people. And he said, the proof of the pudding is this case. He said, you have a Jew called Mendel Baylis, he's sitting in Kiev, here there's an uproar in the whole Jewish world, people in America, people in Israel, everyone's caring for this one Jew. He said to the judge, I challenge you, if there was one guy in Italy who was being taken to court, you think that somebody in America would care about him, somebody here in Kiev would care about a guy in Italy? And the judge agreed. And he said, okay, now I understand what it means. Atem kurim adam, ve'inu mesoilam kurim adam. I think his name is Norman Lamb, the head of Yeshiva University. I once heard him sharing a story. He said that he was on a cruise in the 60s, 1960, when the whole operation of Entebbe was going on. And he said they were on this boat, and there was one boy who had left the army, an Israeli boy, who was waitering. That was his job on the boat. And he said when the radio signal came and they were listening and they heard that they'd saved the captives in Entebbe, he said everyone was so happy and they broke out in cheering v'chulu. And he said then somebody went and he ran up to this waiter, this Israeli boy, he put him on his shoulders and he started dancing. And he was the symbol of the victory. And he says, I was thinking to myself, it was a boat full of goyim, Americans, but they were happy for the Jews. He said, why is this Israeli boy, he's the symbol of the Jews who have been saved in Entebbe, in Africa. What's he got to do with them? He wasn't there. Why are they cheering with him? Even they understood that if he's a Yid, and Yidden was saved, it's the same thing. We can celebrate with him, it's as if we're celebrating with them. And this is the idea. The idea of Adam. The Jewish people are called Adam because although we may be separate bodies, separate people physically, we're one organism, we're one Adam. And that's why the Torah stands up and says, Adam kiya be'er b'sarei se'ei se'ei se'pachis. That's the Adam. Because when we come to talk about Lashon Hara, the first thing that we need to invoke within the person is remind him that if Chas v'Shalom you're speaking against somebody else, you're speaking against yourself. And that's where the teras comes, because by you speaking Lashon Hara about somebody else, you're doing ra to somebody else, you're doing ra to yourself. Straight away it comes out. And therefore the Torah wants to tell a person, think about the Lashon Hara, the teras is to remind you the idea of Adam. That we're all intrinsically connected. So with this we'll understand the next part, where the Torah ends off and says, Kiyo ba'ar b'saray l'nega teras. What's this holy name of nega? So the Chidush Yarim, he says an interesting fact. He says that ein lecha lemala. He says in his lashon is ein lecha lemala me'oineg ve'ein lecha lemata minega. He says that nega and oineg are the same words. Yet the highest pleasure is oineg, and the lowest affliction is a nega. And he says that this is the opposites. He says when we act as Adam, then that's the greatest oineg for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he sees all the Jewish people are behaving with love and brotherhood, that's the oinig. Masha'enken, if Chas v'Shalom someone speaks Lashon Hara, it's the exact opposite, you get the inyan of nega. So he goes on to explain, and he says, and that's why in the parasha it says later on, that when the kohen, it says, V'ra'oh ha-kohen, ha-charei hu kabes ha-nega, v'hine ha-nega lo'ofach es einoi. So this, the inyan of the einoi means that it hasn't changed the way it looked. But he explains as though, he says that the inyan of Oineg and Nega, the middle letters always stay the same. The Nun and the Gimel stay the same. What's the difference between the words? Where you put the ayin. If you put the ayin at the beginning, it's Oineg. If you put it at the end, it's Nega. So he says, V'hine ha-nega lo'hofach es einoi. If the ayin hasn't changed, hasn't moved to the beginning, haven't turned it over from the end to the beginning, if you haven't managed to take the Nega and make it to Oineg, then you see there's something still wrong, Tomehu. That's the issue. And answering the question is where you put the eye. Where do you put the positive eye? Chas v'Shalom at the end, or you put it at the beginning? So we'll just conclude with the story which is brought in the Medrash. The story tells the Medrash, it's brought twice, once in the connection to Shlomo HaMelech, but also it's brought in another time in the Medrash without mentioning Shlomo HaMelech, but the story is basically the same. And the Medrash says that there was once a man who had two heads, and he married a woman who had one head. And they had two children. One was like his father, he had two heads, one had one head. So when it came to the Yerusha, so the child who had two heads, he said, I deserve a double portion because I'm ahead, very good, I'm ahead of him. So they didn't know what to do, maybe he has a taina. So in the end they decided what they're going to do, they're going to blindfold one head, they're going to take a sack and put in one head, so he can't see. And they're going to take hot water and pour it on the other head, and they're going to see if the head that's inside the sack screams. And it's not, he's screaming not because he can see, just because he can feel, because his eyes are covered. Then that means he's one person. But if he doesn't feel any pain, then it means that he's two people and he can get two parts of the Yerusha. Obviously you can imagine that the guy didn't want to be part of this experiment, he didn't want hot water poured on his head. And he said, no, I give my rest my case, and he agreed. Why is the Gemara bring this story? It's like a silly story. Oh, but the Indian is actually a very deep zach. What he's trying to say is that what's happened is developed, the Am Yisrael, because of the Golas, can sometimes be like one body with two heads. You can have Sfadim Ashkenazim, you can have living in this country, each one's following a different path. And it could seem that Lechor, it's actually even two bodies. And therefore you need to do this test. If when you, Chas v'Shalom, one head is being hurt, does the other head feel the pain? If the other head was better, then you know it's Beseda. You may have two heads facing different ways, different directions in serving Hashem. But if the same body connects and you feel the pain of another side, then you know that everything is okay. That's the, you know, the dilemma that it's bringing. That's the holiness of the ayin. Where do you put the ayin? Is the ayin toiv on somebody else? Am I happy for him just like I'm happy for myself? Am I suffering for him like I suffer for myself? And that's the inyan of this possible, the inyan holiness of Lashon Hara. So when we take an isiris from this, the verse, we don't have taras today, that itself should be something we should be thinking about, the irida, the golas today, that we're so distant from purity that we don't have taras. But I feel not going that far, just thinking the idea, the concept of Lashon Hara, how terrible it is. We know that words can affect, you know, in English, in England, I think they don't even think they have in America. In England, they sing and they say, "Sticks and stones break my bones, but words don't hurt me," is the furthest of the truth that can be, because it's punkvaket. When you say bad words, unfortunately, sometimes you can ruin a child's life forever. And leidach gisa, the opposite, if you say sometimes comforting words, good words to a child, you can make him a totally different person. So the understanding, the weight of words, how important it is to care for another. You'd say only good words, only loshen doip, and with that we'll merit the ultimate bracha of Moshiach Tzidkenu Mekarav Mamish.